So welcome to episode 4 of Addiction and Redemption. This is brought to you by Keenest Coaching, and as many of you know already, my name is Dave Keenest, professional life and small business coach. Really just a life coach, though. I mean, you can't talk about your business without talking about your life. Your life is your business. And what the fuck is life coaching? We all have that life that we would really love to be living, that magic wand life, that life we could live if we waved a magic wand and just could create whatever it is that we'd like. And then we have the life that we have. And there's certainly nothing wrong with the lives that any of my clients have. They're all just doing fine. They're just in the process of asking themselves some bigger questions about what the meaning of all of this is and how it could really look. And so it's my job to provide some of those questions and then some support and accountability along with some powerful reflections about the way that they're being and some of the things that they're doing and the places that they are coming from. So if any of you would like to schedule a complimentary consultation with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at dave@davekeenest.com. That's dave@davekeenest.com. Go to my website, davekeenest.com. So I talked about in the last episode how alcohol was sort of a cure for the weirdness that had happened to me as a result of playing around in these interdimensional galaxies with LSD and, to a lesser extent, marijuana. And I realized that I had become a little bit weird as a result of all the drugs I'd been taking, and so I started drinking to kind of combat that. And by the time my senior year, the end of my senior year had rolled around, I had become a relatively well-adjusted alcoholic and drug addict. I didn't realize that this was happening, but I had developed a pretty serious codependency with drugs in general. And at this point, I'm starting to experiment with other things. Like, you got a little cocaine? Sure. I remember people getting Wiki Stick. It was like these joints or cigarettes dipped in embalming fluid. They would go down to the west side of Chicago or to the ghetto, wherever it was in Chicago, and get this Wiki Stick, and we'd smoke that and all kinds of other crazy shit. I think, you know, my friends started sniffing Scotch Guard here and there, and, you know, there was obviously that kid. I wasn't really friends with them, but there was a student who died from Scotch Guard, and it was like, somebody died, like, maybe we should try that. So started to really expand the scope of my experimentation, but the summer progressed. The summer of 1993 progressed, and as it was time for me to go to college, I had been accepted to Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado. And as it was time for me to leave home, I started realizing that I wasn't really ready to leave home. I just wasn't really emotionally there. And I don't want to get into the psychology of how I was raised and, you know, perhaps the dysfunction that I was brought up inside of, certainly to nobody's fault. But I just started to feel really insecure about this prospect of leaving home, and or about the fact that I was leaving home, period. I just didn't really feel ready to go. And, you know, I packed my stuff and we threw it in my parents' car, and me and my mom and my dad drove all the way to Colorado, and that was it. And I got there, and it was cool. It was refreshing, and it was Colorado, and there were mountains, but I very quickly started to isolate. And, you know, a lot of people say that when you go to college, it's really easy to make friends. That just wasn't my experience. It was difficult for me to make friends. There were plenty of people I knew, and there were plenty of people I liked, and there were people who liked me, but I still felt really alone. And that year could have gone either way, because I made a couple of positive, kind of healthy friends, And they could have really helped me to move in a particular direction with my life, but I actually fell in with an unhealthy crowd in the long run. And that year got really weird really fast. People started drinking Robitussin, and, you know, that whole robo-tripping thing is completely freaking insane. Like, I wouldn't recommend that shit to anybody. It's the most fucked up, demented high you could ever ask for. The fact that you could just go into an Osco drug or wherever and buy that shit and drink it and get as high as you can, it's still baffling to me that shit is legal. But people started robo-tripping, and these people I were hanging out with were, you know, getting anything we get our hands on, taking shrooms and dropping acid and just drinking more and more and more and more and more. There was this one night this guy Brookman came to town, and you know, he handed out acid to every single person within, you know, earshot or whatever shot, and got, you know, an entire dorm full, or if not a couple dormfuls of people totally fucking spun on LSD. And that was when I started to realize that I was kind of losing my grip. Life just was, it was just getting a little wacky at that point. And as a result of taking all that acid that one night, I just started to dissociate more and more and more. And at the same time I'm dissociating, I'm drinking more as well. So the year just kind of progressed, and like I said, I was walking this sort of tightrope between healthy and unhealthy. And I met this girl, and she was a really healthy choice for me, and for whatever reason I rejected her. And she would be the first in a long list of healthy girls and women who I rejected for reasons I may or may not discuss later. But I just ended up feeling very, very alone. And there was actually this other girl who I met probably halfway through the year. I met her at the beginning of the year, but we got kind of romantically involved halfway through the year. And she was a couple years older than me, and I just fell completely and codependently in love with her. And it was just really devastating for me in the long run. And so you couple this with all of the drugs and substances that I'm ingesting, and by the end of the year, I'm just a really terrified and isolated little kid, essentially. And the pattern of dysfunction and codependency would go on for many, many, many more years. I'm still sorting it out, to be perfectly honest. But that year was fundamental. And something happened. I moved in my freshman year in the dorms with this guy, Tyler. And he's a brother of mine to this day. But we became fast friends, you know, kind of immediately. We just kind of vibed, and we smoked a lot of weed together. We didn't really hang out outside of our dorm room, but we were in our dorm room together. We really bonded. I know I got on his fucking nerves, and he sure got on mine. But there was a love there. There was a really deep connection. I actually lived with him for 3 additional years, so he'll probably be making future appearances in the podcast. But towards the end of that year, there were a couple of friends of mine who had come to visit one night, and they just raised hell. And the cops ended up in my dorm room, and I got kicked out of my dorm room, and I got expelled to this other dorm. And when that happened, I went into a very, very deep and very, very dark depression. And this is the first time I had real legal consequences as a result of my drinking and using. But the real toll was emotional. And when that year was over, I couldn't wait to get back home to Chicago, to Glen Ellen, and just to be with my friends and to spend the summer at home. And a lot of people were staying behind in Fort Collins, and I just wasn't ready for that. And so I went home and kind of just spent the summer partying. Now, there was a lot less acid that summer and a lot more just drinking and having fun. And actually, because I was on this sort of school probation, I didn't smoke any weed, but I drank a lot. And I went back to school in the fall, and the second year of my college career was just disturbing at best. I lived in this one-bedroom apartment, or not this one-bedroom, but a ground level, or a garden level, rather, garden level apartment with these two guys, this guy Josh and this guy Sherm, and I had grown up with Josh. But things just got really weird really fast in that little place. And again, guess what comes along with this beautiful girl? There was this girl that came along named Sarah Sunshine, and I met her in the fall by sophomore year, and just fell psychotically and codependently in love with her. And she broke up with me, and she devastated me. And couple that again with a further progression of my alcoholism. So I'm getting more depressed over girls, and I'm turning to alcohol more and more and more, thinking that alcohol will fix me, when in fact it won't. It just takes me deeper and deeper into the places that addiction brings people. And it just started to get a deeper and deeper grip on me. And this was the first time in my life when I really started to wrestle with feelings of suicide and I started dealing with feelings of extreme depression and despair. And this place that I lived in, the sun never shined into it. It was always dark, and it just had this dank, moldy smell. And the voices of these two people I lived with were like pinpricks on my skull. And I certainly wasn't the easiest person to live with for them either, because I would get drunk and I would come home and something would happen with this girl, and I would come home and I would kick holes in the walls, or I would punch holes in the walls, or I would bang my head through the wall, or who knows. It was just really sad, and it got very, very dark and very terrible. And when that year ended, things started to just, you know, go further and further into places emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually that I didn't think I would ever end up. And to use that word spiritual, I didn't realize what was happening to me spiritually back then, because I wasn't a spiritual person. I hadn't completely turned my back on spirit. If you brought up the word spiritual, I would like to think I was spiritual, but I was really in the beginning of a very dark and very disturbing spiritual funk that I wouldn't be saved from for, at this point, at least a decade. So I think we'll just end episode 4 there. Thanks again for listening. My name is Dave Keenest. This is Addiction and Redemption, brought to you by Keenest Coaching. Get in touch with me at dave@davekeenest.com or through my website, davekeenest.com. Hope you're having a beautiful day. Thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.